if we're going to be all God wants us to be, we have to understand that the most godlike thing we're going to ever have to do is to truly forgive someone who has hurt us. And let me assure you, you will get hurt in this life. Someone is going to betray you. Often we talk about the Calvary Road, the resurrected life, and the life in Christ, and all of that's wonderful. But please understand, no one is going to be a follower of Jesus and walk in the resurrected newness of life without going through the depths of Gethsemane. It's part of being a disciple of Jesus. We hurt people in this life, and we are hurt by people. So the question is, once we've been forgiven by God, how do we move on and forgive others? Well, first of all, we have to understand what it is and what it's not. And so today I have asked you to turn to a parable. Now, first of all, I want you to understand what a parable is. The word parable is not an English word, it's a Greek word. It's a common Greek word. Parabole is made up of two words. It's a compound word. Para means beside of. We know about that. We use it often in language. It's a preposition that we put onto a lot of things. But the word that is translated the bole is from the word balo, which means to cast or to throw. As a matter of fact, that's part of Satan's name. Diabolos is the word for devil. Dia is the preposition that means through. And when we have a diametric or a measurement through something, we call it a diameter, diametric. So it's through. And then balo is to cast. You see, diabolos, diabolo, means to cast through. You see, you are never more like the devil than when you're slandering someone else, than when you're hurting someone else, when you're damaging someone else, when you have an idea to cast them through with a spear. You're very much like Saul in the Old Testament, going after godly King David, who had done nothing but love him. And so the scripture gives us a parabole. Now, what does it mean to cast alongside? Well, it is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. It is a real life situation that has a spiritual aspect to it. And what we do in the West is we want to try to go into the parables and make every little allegorical or metaphorical statement have its own stance. And that's the way that we misinterpret the scriptures. Because a parabole only has one or two emphases in any of the parables. And so this is what we're going to see today, is the emphasis of this parable on forgiveness. How is it that we move beyond our own forgiveness and forgive others? I assure you, you will never ever go on with God. You will never walk in the way that God wants you to unless you learn to forgive, because people will hurt you over and over and over again. Not necessarily the same people, although that does happen sometimes, especially if you're in a relationship with someone that is intimate, that's close, a family member. Sometimes you're in that and you have to learn to deal with it. But various people will hurt us and we will hurt others. And the sad thing is, in our own lives, even as children of God, that many times we think what we're doing to others is not as bad as what people have done to us. And that's a self-righteous, hypocritical spirit that will keep us from having God's best. So I want to ask you a question today to begin with. Do you want God's best for your life? Do you really want God's best for your life? If so, some of you know that you are in torment, you're in torture, you're in bondage, and your unforgiveness is controlling you and keeping you from God's best in your life. And my prayer is today, when I came here, and throughout the night, last night, Lord, you have the people here that need to hear this. Not just for them, but for a family, for a friend, for someone else. But Lord, especially get the people there today to this service that need to hear this message. And so let's look in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. We'll begin with verse 21. Then Peter came to him, to Jesus, and said, this is Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. That was a rabbinical formula. Jesus said unto him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, Jesus was speaking a Hebrew idiom. He was not saying that you multiply this out and you can't forgive beyond that. It's a idiomatic way of saying. It's a way of saying something like we talk about that look of a deer in a headlight. That's idiomatic. And everybody, as soon as you say, well, they look like a deer staring at a headlight, everybody knows what you're talking about. Well, this is the same situation here. It's idiomatic. And so he's not giving a definite finite number. He's just saying as many times as it takes. Therefore, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. Now, that's more money than anybody has in this room. It is a it's an insurmountable amount of money. I doubt today if we have multi-billionaires in the church. This is what you're talking about. It's a way of saying it's more than anyone could pay. That's just the, again, it's part of the language, the parabolic language. And so it says, but as he was not able to pay, he didn't have the capability to do it, his master commanded them, and he said, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. And they were going to be sold into slavery. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. You see, the man said, I'll pay you back, but the master knew that he could never repay this incredible debt, and so he made a choice to forgive him. But that servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is not much money at all on a comparative scale. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The same thing that he said to his master. But he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt, which was a very common practice. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were very grieved. It grieved them to the heart. And they came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said unto him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do unto each one of you if you from your heart do not forgive his brother his transgression, his trespass against you. Now I want to just pause for a moment, and I want to ask God to open up our hearts today. This is a parable, a word for all of us. And if you don't need this today, I promise you, you will use it sometime down the road. So would you pray with me? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of God who inspired this book to be written so long ago, may that same Spirit now illumine our hearts, our minds, open up the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, speak to our spirit today, deep within us, in our innermost being, speak to us. And oh God, if there is anyone here today that's being tortured and tormented by the bonds of unforgiveness, may, oh God, they find forgiveness and give it freely. In Jesus' name, amen. In now 40 years of ministry, God only knows how many people I have counseled with that are wrestling with unforgiveness. I dealt with it for years in my life, and as I told the earlier service, it's often said that a message prepared in the mind speaks to the mind. A message prepared in the heart speaks to the heart. A message prepared in life speaks to the lives of others. What I'm saying to you today, I have lived out over and over and over again. broken as a young boy at age 7. Abandoned, left, into the arms of a grandmother who was alone and crippled. My two older brothers and I were raised like people during the Depression era, like the World War II era in the 60s and 70s. And we were laughed at. We were mocked. I was constantly in trouble at school. My mother did not want me. I felt like no one wanted me. The day that my mother left, she had smacked me away when I tried to get her to stay and said, "I do not want you anymore. Get away from me." My heart was broken from an early age. And over and over and over again, those that I put my trust in and those that I reached out to, they would betray me and hurt me. And I became an angry, resentful, bitter, unforgiving man. Very hard. And at age 19, Jesus Christ radically saved me. He forgave me. And he set my life on a different course. Well, there was a lot of hardness and there was a lot of unforgiveness in my mind. And so when I went to the Criswell College in Dallas, Texas, it was then the Criswell Bible Institute. And I began to study the Word of God because I had not been a student of the Word. But when I began to study the Word of God, every time that I would begin to study, the people's faces would come into my mind that I harbored bitterness against and hurtful feelings against. And it wasn't just ordinary. I mean, it was hurtful, damaging, controlling thoughts. I could not get away from it. And I cried out to God to deliver me. And the more I studied the Word of God, the more I realized I had been forgiven of very much. And there was nothing that anyone had ever done to me that God would not give me the grace to forgive them and to set them free. But no one told me what it was and what it wasn't. And so today, what I want to do is help you to understand what biblical forgiveness is and what it's not. If you've ever taken any kind of spiritual gifts inventory, you know that in many ways, you can tell what your spiritual gift is by what you know your spiritual gift is not. You look through a spiritual gifts inventory and you go, "Man, that's not me. That's not me." And you begin to narrow it down. Well, sometimes in the Word of God, God gives us the negatives, and he helps us to understand the negatives so that we can get to the positive. Well, today I want to talk to you about what forgiveness is and what it's not. And the first thing I want to do is say to you that what forgiveness is, it is a choice made inside of the one that is hurt. It really has nothing to do with the decisions or the disposition of the other person. It is a choice that is made inside, in the heart and soul of the person who is hurt, who is damaged, who is betrayed. You have to be the initiator. You have to forgive deep inside of you. Why? Because that other person that you think, "I'm going to hurt them," and you say, "Well, how do I know that I have unforgiveness in my heart?" Do you want the best for that person, or do you want them to get what's coming to them? I'm just being gut level honest. If you are saying in your heart, "Well, I've forgiven somebody, but if something were to happen to them, you would really on the inside be happy about it. Because they would hurt like you've hurt. You want them to pay." You see, when you have the attitude of, "I want you to pay for what you've done," then what you've done is you've not released them. And what happens is it controls you, not them. They go on and live life. They're living it up, and it just makes you angrier and angrier because it seems like they're being blessed and you're the one that's being damaged and hurt, and the hurt is going on and on and on, and they're just out there living it up. Well, the reality is you are the only one that can cut the cords. You are the only one that can let them go. You're the only one that can set them free. But what are the hindrances to keep us from doing that? Well, in the parable basically has two lessons. I'm going to give those to you. Here's the two lessons. Number one, forgiveness is a gift. There was no hope of repayment. There was no hope that this guy could pay. The master had to graciously, out of the goodness of his own heart, forgive. Forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is never earned. It's always a gift. You always have to give somebody something that they really do not deserve. Unto undeserving people, you have to make the decision, I am going to let this go. I am going to move on. I am going to refuse to think about that. We'll get into that in just a moment. So the other thing is that if you do not forgive, you will be delivered to the torturers. If you do not forgive, you will be the one living in torment. Not the person, but you. It's a gift, and if you don't give it away, if you do not give the gift of unforgiveness, you will turn into a despiteful, bitter, contemptible person that no one wants to be around. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that Esau was a bitter man, and he said, beware lest the root, just the root of bitterness, comes up in you, because it will defile, it'll stain everything that you touch. You don't want to be that kind of person. So how do you deal with this? How do you let go? Well, you have to understand what it really is. So I'm going to give you what it's not. First of all, biblical forgiveness is not reuniting or reunion. It's not reconciliation. You see, reconciliation takes two parties. It takes an agreement. It takes the person that has harmed or hurt and the person who has been hurt agreeing on something. That's not what this parable is about. You see, forgiveness has to do only with the person that's been hurt. Reconciliation has to do with two people. And you know by this point, if you've lived any time at all, and everybody in here looks like they have, I'm not going to name any sections, but there's some that they're not the Ancient of Days, but they've been around a while. You know that you cannot make anyone do anything. You cannot control anybody. You can't control your spouse. You can't control your children. And if you think you can control your children, you'll find out that as soon as they get old enough to make their own decisions, I don't care what you've done, they'll do what they want to do. I've told parents now, again, for 40 years, that when our children grow up and make good choices, we take too much credit. And when they grow up and make bad choices, we take too much blame. Children turn out well by the grace of Almighty God. That's it. You cannot control your spouse. I know you want to. I know you do. I know there's times when you want to make them think a certain way. You cannot control your spouse. You cannot control anyone. When it comes right down to it, the only person that you can control is yourself. And you can only do that by the grace of God. So I'm not talking about reconciliation. Reconciliation takes two. Reunion takes two. Reuniting takes two. So forgiveness is a gift, and it happens within the person that is hurt. Someone says, well, they haven't said that they're sorry. They haven't repented. It doesn't matter. You've got to forgive them anyway. Because you see, there again, if you're depending upon their saying something and they're admitting something and they're agreeing with something, then probably forgiveness will never be exercised. Forgiveness is something, you've really got to get this first point. Forgiveness is something that happens in you. It only takes one person, and that is the person who's been offended. So if someone has hurt you, someone's damaged you, you have to make the choice to let them go. And it's not reunion. It's not reunited. It's not reconciliation. That takes two. The second thing it's not is trust. Forgiveness is always a gift. Always. It's always given to somebody who doesn't deserve it. But trust is always earned. Trust is always earned. You say, well, I didn't even know somebody, I trusted them. Well, there were some presuppositions you had before you trusted them. Everybody has to earn trust. In the business world and in the world of the church, we go on recommendation. We go on references. You don't know somebody. You call up somebody that you do trust and say, do you trust this person? And you see, we can transfer our trust to another person. The Apostle Paul did this several times. He said, I want you to take Onesimus. I want you to treat him just like you would treat me. You treat him just like it's me. And so his trust, his value was transferred to someone else. You can transfer trust, but trust is always earned by someone. And so when you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that you're going to get back in bed with them. When you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that you trust them. When you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that you go out and make a bad decision. Because forgiveness only has to do with you. It doesn't have to do with anyone else. Number three, it is in you individually. It's not reconciliation. It is not reunion. It's not reuniting. It's not trusting someone. Those are totally different things. But it is also not condoning their sin. You see, if someone has hurt you, you need to realize that you've been hurt and not act like you're not. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing okay. Just go on. I'm okay. No, you're not. You need to say, I am hurt. You hurt me. And you need to admit that to yourself. I was damaged by that. You see, sometimes we're hurt about things that we're embarrassed that we were hurt by it. Somebody hurts us and we can't admit that we're hurt because it shouldn't. It was so little, it shouldn't have hurt us, but it hurt us. And it damages relationships. And if that little bitty, tiny thing that we allow to fester, it becomes a huge sore. And then God has to go in and lance it. And there's always some repercussions with that. What I'm saying to you is forgiveness is something that you've got to deal with now. If you don't deal with it now, it becomes a bigger thing. You have got to admit, I was hurt over that. I was damaged over that. You got me. I trusted you, and you hurt me. How do you deal with that? Well, that is the $64,000 question. You cut the cord. You let it go. When I was pastoring in San Diego, California, there was a lady that came into our church. She's with the Lord Jesus now. But she came into our church and she was way older or way younger than what she looked. She had aged far beyond her years. And she came in, I could repeat this story over and over again over the decades of ministry. But this is the clearest case that I can give you today. She came in, and after she had given her heart and life to Jesus and got in the Word, God began to deal with her about her father who had molested her as a little girl. Not only had he molested her, but had molested her younger sister that came up behind her. And she could not control that. And the anger in this woman's heart, I cannot describe to you. She was in her early 60s, and she looked like she was 95 years old. She had carried this for all of these years, and she came into me, and she was broken in every sense of the word. And she said, this is eating me alive. I've got to do something about this. And she told me the story of her father. And she said, what do I do? I said, you're going to have to release him. She said, how can I do that? I said, is he still alive? She said, no, he's been dead for years. He was in the grave, and he was in the grave still controlling her life. He was in the grave still controlling her thoughts. You see, unforgiveness is a sin that will take you deeper than you want to go. It will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It'll make you pay a higher price than you could ever make anyone else pay because the damage is done on the inside of you. Just like this parable. She had been forgiven of all the things that she had done. God had given her his own righteousness. And she was wanting to do something, but she didn't know how. She could not hear him say, I'm sorry. He could not ask for forgiveness. Proof positive again that if you're going to forgive, it's going to have to happen in you regardless of whether they ever admit any wrong or agree to any wrong or do anything. Listen. That is reconciliation. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness has to happen in you. Now look at the parable again. The master said, I set you free. You have a debt that you cannot pay. I am making the choice to forgive you. It really had nothing to do with this other guy. That's the crux of this. Then he turned around and for something far less was holding such a grudge that he began to say, you're going to pay me. And who was tortured in the end? Not the one that owed money, not the one that owed the little bit, not the one who had done the damage to this man. Did he owe him something? Of course he did. But it was minuscule in comparison. It was microscopic in comparison to what he had been forgiven for. And he did not have compassion in his heart. So who was punished? Who was the one that was tortured? Who was the one that was tormented? The one that would not forgive. This lady had to make the decision over and over and over again. She made the decision initially in my office to forgive. She made the choice. But let me tell you, just because you make a decision to do something doesn't mean that your emotions follow those decisions immediately. She didn't feel any different. She said, there I did it. I really made the choice to cut the cord. And she said, what I do now? I said, you keep making that choice over and over and over and over and over again. Every day, sometimes every hour, sometimes many times an hour, you make the choice, I'm letting this go, I'm letting this go, I'm letting this go. Why? Because you've trained your mind and patterned your mind and your spirit and your heart to hold something against that person, and that has to be retrained. And that's where the forgetfulness comes in, when you don't think about it anymore. How do you forget somebody's name? Easy. They're not that important. Because you see, you've got an agenda. Every time you meet somebody, you won't tell them who you are. Make sure they get your name. Make sure they remember you. And you don't listen. You're not paying attention. And so it's very easy to put that out of your mind. How do you get have you never forgotten anything? Well, how'd you forget it? You quit thinking about it. It wasn't a priority anymore. And so you made a choice over and over and over again to forget about it. And then somebody brings it up and you go, now I remember that. I had forgotten about that. Well, how'd you forget about it? You made the choice that there were more important things in life than that. That's the way forgiveness happens. Ultimately, this lady had to go all the way back to an eastern state just north of us, stand over her father's grave, and visually say, I forgive you. And she got freedom completely because she was able to speak it out. Now, what I'm telling you is, did she have to go back there? Well, for her, she did. Because it was a visual for her. It was tangible for her. Because her father, who had molested her, had been controlling her for 60 years. And now she was cutting the cord. She was free. She died a free woman. Absolutely changed her life when she learned to forgive. I could tell you story after story of people that are sitting in churches that have been hurt by spouses, been hurt by children, been hurt by mom and dad, been hurt by pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, people that they trusted, school teachers, on and on and on, by friends and girlfriends and boyfriends, that they have become bitter people, but as Christians, because they won't not let go. They don't understand what it is and what it's not. So the choice is going to be with you. After all, have I been forgiven anything? That's the first choice you've got to make. If you're going to experience forgiveness, you have to receive forgiveness because you are not capable of giving it without getting it. And so if you've truly never received the forgiveness of God, if you've truly never allowed the Spirit of God to cleanse your heart, to receive God's forgiveness, to understand that he loves you so much that he paid the penalty for your sin, it's gone. And if you come back to him and you keep on confessing that, then you're bringing up things he's already put behind him. He's already paid for. And so the first decision you've got to make today is, have I truly been forgiven? If you have been forgiven, the next decision is, have I truly forgiven someone? And you give yourself that test right now. If you have truly forgiven someone, would you be happy if something bad happened to them? Do you want them to pay? Do you want them to hurt? I made a decision in 1978 to forgive my mother. I am such a visual person, I literally, in Dallas, Texas, put a chair across from me and imagined my mother sitting there. And I said, I forgive you. But I had to make that choice over and over again. Now, you ready for this? Christmas of 1995, I sat with my mother alone on Christmas Day, the first Christmas Day I'd spent with her since 1962. Just the two of us in the home that I grew up in, that was her mother's, where she grew up in, that her son that she had abandoned grew up in. And because of the grace of God that had happened in 1978 to me when I made a decision to forgive her and did that over and over again for years making that decision, before God openly and transparently in 1995, I took my mother's face in my hands. And I said, Mom, I love you. I'm not angry anymore. God can do anything. He set me free. And the last months of my mother's life, I took care of her. And thank God we were reconciled, but the reality is if we had never been reconciled, if I'd never heard her say, I'm sorry, I had already been set free because I had set her free. What I'm saying to you is this. Some of you are carrying around a dead person. Some of you are wrapped up in chains and you're bound up. Cords are choking the life out of you. And you're wondering what's going on. God has forgiven you so much. He's done so much for you. There is no reason, there is nothing that's ever been done to you that you can't forgive, because God, whatever it is, has forgiven you far more than that. And He will enable you. He will equip you. He will empower you to let it go. That's a decision that happens inside of you. But you first got to receive the grace of God in order to give it. You first have to receive the forgiveness of God in order to give it. If you do not, after you've received it, you will be tormented until you do. Let's pray. Lord, the time has come and gone. It seems so quickly. There's so much to know, so much to learn, so much to deal with in our hearts. Oh God, You have forgiven us of so very much. Our hearts are open to You right now. Lord, would You bring anyone across our heart and mind that truly we've not forgiven? Is there anyone that we want to see them pay? Is there anyone we want to see them get what's coming to them? Vengeance is Mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Oh God, let anyone here today that has thoughts they're harboring in their mind that's evil toward another, that's no good toward another, to cut them loose, to cut the cord. Not so that person can be free, but so that the one forgiving can be free and can live the wonderful life that You've given to all of us who are Your children. Lord, draw someone with cords of loving kindness today and let them begin the process of forgiveness in making the first decision today, and maybe 10 times or 100 times before the night is finished. But then getting up tomorrow and doing it again until it's experienced in our emotions and in our heart. You're the great healer, O God, and many are here wounded. Some have dirty wounds. They had part in it. God, would you clean those wounds and then suture, heal. And where there is no fault and damage has been done, it's a clean wound, no fault of ours. May we still experience your healing and forgive. We trust you completely with all that we are. Help us to make the right decision today to let it go and move on. In Jesus' name, amen.